Well, as long as I can remember, I always wanted to sit in the chair the preacher sat. I got my wish tonight. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I have a question, statement for you tonight, or question, I'm sorry. Is your Bible used or misused? And in order for us to grow as Christians, we need to read God's word. So I have three Bibles with me tonight. Represent three different types. First, my first point is the New Bible. Tyler only takes his Bible to church, and then to Sunday, and then he opens it when Pastor Crawford or someone's preaching it, and then after they say their verse, he closes it and goes to sleep. And then when he gets home, he goes and sets it some dark and lonely corner in his house, and it gathers dust for the rest of the week. Now, my second point is used often. It's read sometimes, taken to church, my Bible is used often. I don't use it as much as I should. I don't read it every day like I should. I need to get on that. And I bet a good majority of us probably do the same thing. Now, my third is used daily. Now this is my papa's old Bible. Now this Bible is used every day, I can tell. And it's not misused, It's overused with daily use, And, Bibles aren't to play, meant to play fetch with or toss aside. This Bible has been used, I'm pretty sure, every day. Now, my fourth point is to love your Bible. In Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day. In Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In 140, where's 140? Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. So God wants us to love our Bibles. He wants almost every Bible, not almost every Bible, to look like this. And in closing, remember the word is God. In John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please just bless the remainder of the preachers that come tonight, and just fill them with your spirit. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on the right combination to heaven. The way of salvation is Jesus Christ, and we all know it. But we will let this lock that I have here represent all unsaved people who believe they can get to heaven by doing works and good deeds and baptism. I have several keys here that we're going to try and open this lock with. Do you think it'll work? Let's try anyway. Let's see, I have good deeds here. No. Baptism, maybe. No. I don't think we're going to get this lock open by good deeds or good works. Maybe if we use by force, maybe to get it open, maybe.
Your brother,
it on. So we see here that none of our attempts have helped to free this unsaved person from his sin. None of our attempts have freed him. This lock represents heaven, and our keys represent ways people try to attempt to free themselves as they failing. Will the combination of good works and good deeds work? No, for in Titus 3:5, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but work according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How about baptism? Will that wash away our sins? And the Bible even proves it to us. It says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away his sins forever. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for his sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. This man is Jesus Christ. So we see that good deeds and baptism cannot open our lock and get us to heaven. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. I have a piece of paper here with the combination of this lock on it. Do you think we can maybe try and open it? What do you know? We used the combination of Jesus Christ and our lock was open. Do you think that if I were to subtract from this combination here, that it would open? What if I added to it? Neither can we add or subtract to our salvation and expect it to get us to heaven. All you have to do is be freed from your sins and accept right now what Jesus has done for you. The decision is yours. Dear God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for helping us with the preachers, Lord. Let this go smoothly, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel 17:29. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David, as we know, was a shepherd in the field. And one day a lion and a bear came by, and he defeated both of them. And David was also anointed by Saul. David went back to his house, and his brothers went to battle. And his father sent him to the battlefield to check on his brothers and feed his brothers. And once he got there, he heard Goliath. And the Philistine came out, and Goliath was mocking God. And David's cause to going to battle was Goliath was mocking our God. And so David decided to stand up for the Lord. And so he went to the battle of Goliath. No other Israelite wanted to do that. And we all need to stand up for the Lord in our everyday life. And then David's power came from God. And sure, he was probably spoke to God a lot in the field. I mean, probably played his harp maybe, just kind of sat out there watching the flock. And David gave God all the credit in verse 45. It says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And then we all need to rely on God. David relied on God with just a sling and a stone. And he defeated Goliath. We all need to rely on him. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And, I mean, if we pray, read our Bible, We can do all things through Christ if we rely on Him. And David's victory came from standing. He stood up for the Lord. So the Lord supplied his needs. He helped David through the battle. He allowed him to defeat Goliath. And David's victory came from relying on God. And so David's reward was Saul's daughter, which whoever defeated Goliath got Saul's daughter. And so he had the reward. The rewards we receive for standing up for God, for Christ, we get rewards too. I mean, if we stand up for the Lord, if we ask Him to help us, He will help us through our battles, and He will give us a victory and give us the power, and we will have blessings through that. Jill, I thank for this day. I pray that You would just help the remainder of the service, Lord, and the rest of the preachers, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, isn't that a blessing so far? Amen. I've enjoyed that. I had no idea what they were preaching, but I'm excited to hear it. I enjoyed that. And we can get something at every one of those. Amen. Let's go ahead and stretch just for a moment. We're going to sing the chorus of number 23. Let's just stand and stretch. We got three more preachers coming here in just a minute. Let's just sing the chorus. Family of God. All right, sing it out with me. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this far. Of the family of God. Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
my voice.
That's good. I'm off to a good start. My verse today is in Ezekiel 34, verses 26 and 27. And I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause a shower to come down in this season. There shall be showers of blessings. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When they have broken the bonds of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Well, my message today is really how to get the showers of blessings, like the Word of God promises in here. Now, I honestly don't know if this is in the Bible, but I've heard it in a lot of sermons, and so I thought I'd tell the story about two farmers. So, two farmers were in the middle of this severe drought. Both of them prayed for rain, but only one of them went out to prepare their fields. How do you prepare your fields for the showers of blessings? First thing you got to realize is it's a drought. You got to pray for the rain. If you don't stick to God and pray to God, the drought will consume you, as it says in Genesis 31:40. And it says in 31:40, "Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes." The drought, really, you've got to pray to stick through it. Second, you got to know your watering days. Most of these fancy cities around here put watering days, so whenever you can rain, whenever it doesn't rain enough. We know that Jesus is the living water, but at church you can get some of the waters and help you grow in your Christian life. Third, you got to prepare for your watering days. You can't just come to church and just expect to get in blessings of God. You got to pray, and you got to pull the weeds in your life. If you have weeds in a garden and you keep watering it, what's going to happen to all the water? Is it going to get to any of the plants? It's only going to go to the weeds. The weeds are going to choke them out and kill the plant. You got to pull the weeds in your life. Finally, whether you realize it or not, God always gives you rain. It says so in 2 Corinthians 9:12. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by the thanksgivings unto God." To me, this verse says, God will always supply all your needs. You need to pray and stick to God. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for allowing us to gather and worship you. Thank you for giving me the privilege to come up here and speak. In your name, amen.
All right, tonight my message is about the Good Samaritan. Everyone, please turn to Luke 10. Majority of y'all have heard this story, and you're about to hear it again. All right, in verse 30, and Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So let's picture that the certain man is a lost soul in your work or at school. Do you just look at them and walk by like the Levite did? Do you just not even look at him and walk by like the priest did? Or do you stop and talk to him, try to witness to him like the Samaritan did? We tend to walk by the wounded man on the street nowadays. We see him and just say, maybe someone else will help him. Or he's a sinner. Let's just walk by. We don't need to deal with him. Someone else will. So would you just leave him there? Would you try to witness to them? I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty because I go to a public school. I walk the halls. I see lost souls almost every step. And I walk by them. I look at them and walk by. I don't witness to them. I don't talk to them. And that's going to change. I challenge all of us tonight to be like the Good Samaritan. To reach lost souls. So, my question of the night. Are you like the Good Samaritan? Or are you like the priest of the Levite? Dear Father, Lord, just thank you for this day and thank you for what you've given me, Lord. Just thank you for the messages tonight. Thank you for the songs. Just be with Caleb and give him the words to speak during his message, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would turn your Bibles to Acts, book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. My title of my sermon tonight is The True Christian. Are you a true Christian? It says they were first called Christians in Antioch. Disciples were there and they were called Christians. Why were they called Christians? They're called Christians because they were Christ-like. The word Christian means Christ-like. It says they were preaching, they were teaching the people there. And just challenged us, we should be Christ-like. We should resemble Christ. Just like the song Riley sung, we should, do they see Jesus in us? We should be Christ-like. My first point would be we should have compassion. In order to be Christ-like, we should have compassion for the lost. In Matthew 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He said they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The lost are scattered. They're desiring to see Jesus, but they don't see him. They can't find him unless somebody tells him. We should have a desire to win souls. Number two, we must witness. We can have all the compassion in the world, but if we don't witness to them, we could be compassionate and watch them go right to hell. Just having compassion is not enough. We have to do something about it. Mark 16, verse 15, says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That's not talking to the pastors or the missionaries. That's talking to the Christian. It's talking to you and me. We're the ones that are supposed to tell them about Christ. And the end of verse, Matthew, verse 20, the end of verse 20 and 21. Find it. Anyway, it says that they were teaching the people, and there was a bunch of people that were saved, and because of the witness that they were just in their lives, the disciples, they were Christ-like. They called them Christ-like because they were with Christ, they were acting like Christ. And I'd just like to leave you with a couple of questions. Will you go and tell them? Will you be Christ-like? Will they see Christ in you? Will you be a true Christian? Just as the song says, will they see Christ in you? There's another song that says, "You're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only word of life some will ever read." And that is true. You could be the only one that saves someone from going to hell. Let's go.
Hey man, I appreciate these guys. I am not going to try to add to any of their messages, but I did notice an underlying theme. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. And I had just kind of said something up there the other day, Wednesday night. One of the things that helps me, and I'm not perfect, none of them are perfect, we're not perfect in this room. Not a one of us. But there's one thing that really helps me throughout the day to maintain Christ-likeness. And that is that when I start the day, I ask the Lord to help me be aware of His eternal presence. Lord, help me to be aware of your presence when I'm driving to work. Help me to be aware of your presence when I'm alone in my office. Help me to be aware of your presence when I'm in the crowd. Where God is always everywhere at all times. You want something that will help you to be like Christ. Ask him to help you to be aware of his eternal presence. Guys, I appreciate that. Good preaching from all of you. Some of them, I told them, I didn't say this to them, but some of them, 5 minutes wasn't long enough, and some of them, it was an eternity. We appreciate all of them. I'm going to ask Patrick. Actually, I'm going to ask my wife. Where's my wife? Is she right here? Would you, or somebody, Miss Roberta, anybody, I don't care, somebody, let's go ahead and play a verse of invitation. You know what? The Word of God is preached, and whether it's Brother Crawford, or whether it's Brother Stone, it is the Word of God, or whether it's these guys. They did their dead level best to preach what they believe God laid on their heart for you, for me, tonight. And we'd be remiss if we walked out of here without giving God an opportunity to speak to our heart and without us responding to that. So let's stand together as we have a verse of invitation. And I'm going to ask my wife just to play through a verse. Heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, if the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart.